As we've been exploring the practice through the instructions each morning, we've been emphasizing a connection to the breath as a place to settle, stabilize, anchor the attention. And yet, as we've been describing, we use the breath as a preference, but not an exclusive kind of experience with mindfulness practice. And as we are attending to the breath, when other experience becomes strong, draws the attention. We allow our attention to explore that other experience, whether it's experience of other body sensations, of pressure, vibration, tingling, pulsing, heat, coolness, hardness, warmth. Moisture. Whether it's a feeling tone of experience, whether something is pleasant, unpleasant, or neutral. Emotions, moods, states of mind. Thoughts. Processes of mind. Everything in our experience is available to be mindful of. And in fact, there's no one experience that's inherently better than another in terms of understanding impermanence. It is helpful to have a stability of attention in order to be able to meet and recognize impermanence. But there's no object inherently better than any other for allowing us to see this truth, and the truths of unreliability, not self. And so the exploration of using the anchor for the attention is primarily to support the stabilizing of the attention, not to in some way highlight or make the breath a better object. And so today, in the instructions, I'd like to explore the possibility of a little shift around our practice. At this point, we've been encouraging this settling with the anchor, the experience of breathing. using a factor of mind, the capacity of mind to choose what we pay attention to, directing the attention to the breath. There's the possibility in our meditation of letting go of actively choosing an object to pay attention to, letting go of the anchor, and exploring with interest what the processes of mind choose to pay attention to. Even when we're not consciously choosing an experience to pay attention to, there is something being attended to in our experience. And so we can start to explore this by letting go of the anchor of attention. And you could just check in with kind of a question, what's obvious now? What's most obvious now? And now. And this begins to point us to a more receptive kind of attention. And so this is what I'd like to explore this morning in our meditation. So it's often helpful, particularly in opening to a receptive awareness, to really support, encourage relaxation of body and mind. And so allowing the body to be soft, relaxing the body. And sometimes it can be interesting to explore in this relaxation. And we can consciously relax parts of the body, notice where there's tension and let go of that. And sometimes we can also request the mind-body processes, if there's any relaxation more that's possible. Just dropping in the question, may the body relax. And then not trying to do it, but just seeing whether the mind and body are responsive to that request. May the body relax. May the body relax. May the mind relax. May mental tension relax. As we relax the body, relaxing the body supports the mind to relax. And relaxing the mind supports kind of a natural ability of the mind to simply receive experience. And so what's obvious in this moment? Often, what's most obvious to us initially is body experience. Pressure, vibration, pulsing, hardness, softness. Or maybe the breath is most obvious. Seeing if there can be an attitude of curiosity, relaxed curiosity. What's obvious now? And what's obvious now? A very gentle willingness for something new to be present each moment. What's obvious now? As we let go of choosing what to pay attention to, the full range of experience opens. What's obvious might be the body, it might be sound, it might be emotions or moods, it might be feelings, pleasant, unpleasant. It might be thought. The key with this receptive awareness is to just keep the interest and now, and now, and now. What's here? What's obvious? Letting your mind and body show you what's obvious. Sometimes this letting go of the anchor and opening to a receptive attention can be a little unsettling. The mind starts to try to find something to pay attention to. A searching experience happens. It's possible to simply recognize, oh, searching is what's happening now. And if it feels too confusing, it's fine to take a few moments to reconnect with the experience of breathing with your anchor. Let the mind become stable. And at some point, exploring what it means to let go of that anchor. And again, simply open to receiving experience. Receiving what the mind is already paying attention to, rather than choosing what to pay attention to. What's obvious? And now? And now? And now? A light touch of this quiet question. What's here? Now? relax. The mind actually can naturally do this as we start to get out of the way. And again, it's fine to come back to the anchor if it feels destabilizing for you. With this receptive awareness, sometimes it's a little easier to, or harder to see the distinction of where thinking begins. And that's okay. When you notice that you've gotten lost or wandered away from recognizing really clearly, what's obvious now? What's obvious now? Just acknowledging thinking. It can be helpful to reconnect with the breath at that point for a few moments. And then again, opening to receiving experience. What's obvious? What's obvious? Our minds have the capacity both for this receptive aspect of attention and the directed aspect of attention. And it's in our meditation practice, it's helpful to have skill on both sides, to have the capacity to choose what to pay attention to, direct the attention to an object. This supports our, it can support a stabilizing of the attention at times to choose an object. It can be some forms of investigation. The directed attention allows us to kind of explore and observe that experience in a particular way. And so that capacity of directing the attention is very supportive in our meditation practice. The capacity of receptive attention begins to, there's several things that it supports. It supports our recognizing or opening to seeing kind of the processes of our mind at work, the kind of the habitual processes, the way our mind does what it does, because we're not choosing to direct the attention. What we get to see is what our mind does. This receptivity also allows us to start to open to things that we don't already know. When we direct the attention, we can direct the attention to something that we're familiar with or something that's already here that is arising in the moment. We can choose to direct the attention. And yet part of our practice is starting to open to things we're unfamiliar with, things that we don't already know. And this receptive capacity begins to allow us to kind of settle back and be curious, what's here? And so many things that we don't already know can begin to come into awareness. The directing of the attention can have a subtle, almost overriding of opening to something unfamiliar. And so both sides, cultivating both this capacity for directed attention and this capacity for receptive attention, are really supportive in our meditation practice for different reasons. Different minds, all of your minds are very different. And they have different familiarities with being with things. And some minds may find the directed attention, the directed awareness to be more familiar, easier. Some minds may find the receptive attention to be more familiar or easier. Some minds may find both equally easy or equally difficult. So it's worth exploring a little bit both sides of this possibility. If you find in exploring the directed attention that the mind gets a little bit tight or contracted, you could try the receptive attention, see if that supports a relaxation. If you're finding in the receptive attention the mind's getting a little bit kind of out there, not really knowing what's happening, it can be helpful to bring in the directed attention. And so being interested in exploring, playing with this, to not have to feel like there's a right way to do this, but being open to exploring what supports you in this moment to be present. Sometimes that may be cultivating the directed attention. Other times it may be cultivating the receptive attention. There's no better way in. We are cultivating and exploring the possibility for a stability of mindfulness. And minds, different minds can have different kind of natural ways to find their way to that stability of attention. So we have a few minutes for questions, if there's any questions about practice this morning.
Can you address how to become curious at that moment about thought?
Oh, definitely, yes, yeah.
And since my consciousness anyway really is a sense organ, you know, and I don't have much more control over that than the sounds or the itches, how do I not jump back to the breath but stay with that?
So the question is around in the moment when you're noticing thinking. I did say that, you know, if you find that can be a time that it's useful to return the attention to the breath. Often, you can also, in the noticing the waking up, you know, you're noticing actually, you know, the mind is kind of wandering, right? You know, when the mind is wandering, there's no instruction. When the mind recognizes that the mind is wandering, mindfulness is already back. There is mindfulness in that moment. In fact, it's like mindfulness has re-arisen there. And so it can be really, the instruction for myself that's been the most helpful around this, rather having the habit of coming back to the breath immediately, but being interested in exploring essentially what mindfulness is re-arisen. What's here? What's already here as mindfulness re-arises? You know, exploring, to have the question of can you become familiar with what it's like for that mindfulness to re-arise? Yet kind of have a sense of curiosity about that moment itself. What's the difference in that moment between being lost in thought and being aware of thought? That moment as mindfulness returns is a clue to what it means to be present for thought, because mindfulness has re-arisen within the thought, often within the thought. Sometimes we get lost in thought. Sometimes we get lost in thought, and then the mind kind of wanders itself back to the breath, and then we're back in the breath, and then suddenly we wake up, and it's like, oh, breath, breath. But we remember. It's like we remember, wait a minute. I was just thinking about something. But, you know, we've both wandered and returned to the breath without ever noticing the wander. So, you know, that's another phenomenon, is kind of to recognize, oh, you know, remembering, the mind remembers that it had wandered. But there are many times when we actually wake up into the thought itself. And so the curiosity of what is it like to wake up in that moment? You may have to work a little bit with the kind of automatic habit of coming back to the breath. You know, that's kind of a conditioned thing that we develop in meditation sometimes. And so, you know, if you notice that that happens, just notice, oh yeah, you know, kind of automatically did that. And just keep noticing, kind of have the curiosity. The question I ask myself is, what's the earliest I can recognize that I'm back? What's the earliest I can recognize that mindfulness has re-arisen? And get curious about that moment and what mindfulness is aware of there. And so it's kind of like hovering in that place and not necessarily returning to the breath. What's obvious is a great question there too. That's the question I was really encouraging moment after moment. So you wake up, you notice that you're back in thought, and what's obvious here? It may be an image in the mind. It might be as if you're talking to yourself. It might be a bodily feeling that has been created as a result of thinking. It might be an emotion that's been created as a result of thinking. And so just opening to what's obvious as that happens. So it's a little bit of an exploration, especially when we have that habit of coming back to the breath. But habits can be worked with. So, yeah. So it's another day. A day for practice. I think there's still supposed to be some rain today, but not so much storminess. And so it's a good day for still being, you know, held in the container. The weather creates this great, like, container holding us all. So in the practice discussions today, Matthew will be sitting in with me, and as always, it's fine to say no. Anything else? Any other announcements? You're welcome to leave questions on the board for the 7:45 sitting, and enjoy your practice.